Welcome back to Parenting Tea with Mima. Today we have my good friend Slaw with us. He is 30 years old. He has two children, and he'll just, you know, talk to us about parenting and his experience. So I'll just go ahead and let him introduce himself. Slaw, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, so my name is Justin Slaw. Like Mima said, I'm 30 years old. I am a divorced father of two, currently attending law school in Louisville, and I'm happy to be here today.
All right, ladies, if you're looking for a 30-year-old man that's divorced with two kids, you know exactly where he is. Awesome. Thank you so much for that introduction, Slaw. So I kind of wanted to get your perspective on, one, obviously being a single parent as a male, as the father, and also your experience of, you know, pretty much knowing and finding out that you were going to become a father and how that affected you, and if you made any changes or anything like that. So my first question is, how did you feel and how did you take it when you found out initially that you were becoming a parent?
I'd say I was excited, not in a traditional sense where I'm excited because I'd been married or because I've been wanting to have a kid with my spouse for a while, but we were dating for some time. We actually broke up. And then I found out that she was pregnant, so I was excited about it, and I wanted to be a father. It was something I always wanted to do. My father was in my life, but not around as much, so I always wanted to be a father myself and to have a child that I could give love to. So I was excited about it. I wasn't upset or I wasn't, you know, thinking, you know, my life's over. I was ready for the challenge.
Well, that's great, because we have some of us that are like shooketh when we find out that we are having children, and I was at that stage too. So it's refreshing to hear a different perspective with someone who you know, was pretty much up for the challenge from the jump. So that's pretty dope.
Yeah. Good times.
Good times. All right. So at the moment of becoming a father, how did that feel? And were there any adjustments that you had to make in order to make that work?
I'll just recount the date just kind of briefly, but I just remember being asleep. Okay. Again, I told you we have broke up, so I was asleep.
You guys broke up during the childbirth?
Well, no, I was asleep like right before it happened. So I was, we broke up, like I was saying, but I was at one of my friend's house. We were like drinking that night or something, and I had went to sleep, because my first daughter ended up coming, early. Okay. So I had gone to sleep, and I got a call like, oh, my water broke. So I jump up. I put on my clothes. I rushed there to the hospital, only to play the weight game because, you know, it's the first child.
Right.
So we didn't really know it would take, like, forever.
Right.
But so I pretty much get there. It takes forever. But once everything starts happening, you know, my daughter's coming out. I was excited. I want to say that, like, I was kind of taken back by the moment. I know it's experience, you know, seeing life come out. So I was taken back a little, like, you know, this is a different experience.
Yeah.
But when she came out, I got to hold her and stuff like that. And I was really, I don't know, I wouldn't say that it immediately changed me, but you look at the world just a little bit different. You know?
Yeah.
So I'd say the adjustments that I made were just more, I was more cognizant of things and their relative importance in life. So versus, like I said, it's stark contrast. Before, I was drinking the night before, and then, you know, the next day I have a baby. So, it's funny. But once that happened, I just realized, you know, some things are important, some things aren't. And I began to, you know, I don't say I didn't drink anymore because I kept drinking.
You
but
sure did.
I understood, you know, the importance of spending time with my child and using those moments and maybe not having so much personal fun,
right.
But having fun with my child, because those are the memories that count and matter.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. You have a unique story. That's good that you had a positive experience with, you know, finding out that you were going to become a parent, and the actual day that you became a parent sounds like it was positive as well. So that's dope. As far as your job is concerned, and I know that you are currently reserved in the Army, so thank you for your service. As far as being, when you were in active duty, when you were active duty, was it difficult for you to spend time with your daughter, or, you know, was it challenging? Were the moves challenging on you and her? How was that?
So initially, not so bad. Like I had mentioned previously, you know, we had broken up. So like, though I had a daughter, it was just me essentially. So when I first entered the military, they weren't with me. But me and my ex-wife, we reconciled, so we got back together, and I think we went to Kentucky first, in Kentucky, we're at Fort Knox, and I wouldn't say it was a challenge while I was in the States, because it's like a normal job. You gotta go to work and to provide for your family, for your children. So I'd go to work. Only difference is I'd go at 6 o'clock and maybe get home at 7 or 8 or 9 o'clock. But, you know, so the hours were long. So I did miss out on some time and some moments. So I missed her first walk. I saw a video, but I missed her first walk. You know, other things like that. But the challenges come when they came, when I deployed. I remember we were getting ready to deploy and we're just revving up. And at the time, you know, you're just like, oh, well, I got to go. You're not really thinking about it. But then, you know, the day that it actually happened, so I'm about to go, I remember holding my daughter. We were like getting our weapons and getting all our stuff, and people had their families that we all had our families down there. And you know, my daughter's just looking at me and, you know, playing with my dog tags and, you know, just sitting on my lap. And then it's time to go. So she, you know, she's used to saying bye bye daddy. So she says bye bye daddy, you know, like,
yeah,
she'll see me tomorrow. She didn't realize that she's not gonna see me for, that was going like 10 months. So she didn't see me for 10 months. So over that time, you know, I you know, there's moments where you miss your child. She was young, so, you know, FaceTiming and stuff like that, she didn't really understand what's going on. And I remember coming back when I returned the next year. She didn't know who I was when I met her. So to be honest, that kind of hurt my feelings a little, honestly. So that saddened me. But it didn't take a long time, because before I deployed, you know, we were tight, thick as thieves.
Yeah.
So it took maybe a couple hours, and then she kind of got used to me again, and realized, oh, that's the guy, you know.
Right.
So, and we're back cool again. So a couple fruit snacks and a smile, and we're all good.
That is great. That's a great story. That's great. And, you know, because some parents that are absent, with the phone calls, like not calling the child at all, because even with calling them, because that happens with my son, because we're parenting from two different states. So at times, the only form of communication is FaceTime and all that stuff. And literally, I just had a custody exchange the other day where when my son walked in the room and his father was there, he kind of looked like, Harpo, who is this? you know. And the thing about, I know he knows his dad, but I think it was more of a, where you been? Like, so it's just, even with routine, they still have that kind of like, I haven't seen you in months, bro. Like, where have you been? Now you want to talk to me? So his dad literally had to kind of like bribe him into, you know, getting into his arms. And it was very easy, by the way. Malachi did not do any form of even valuable negotiations. All the man did was like tickle him, and next thing you know, they're hugging and kissing like nothing ever happened. So it does have an effect on the child when the parent is missing for a certain amount of time. And I kind of want to do like a little bit of research on that and find out exactly what it does to the child, because we only see their actions. Like, you trying to act like you don't know me? Like, what's up? But I actually want to get the details of what does that to them. Like, what is it, because this is their way of saying I missed you? Or is it actually the brain saying, you know, trying to register, oh, this is the parent that, you know, you saw a few months back, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does. It makes sense. I understand.
So that's, you know, a nice story to hear, and it kind of helps me put things in perspective as well, because my son does the same exact thing to his dad when he sees him. So I know that you mentioned that you are no longer with your ex-wife, which is the mother of your two daughters. How is the parenting now? Like, how are you parenting now that you guys are apart or divorced?
Well, initially, it was pretty easy. I would call, or I would send a text. I'd come pick my daughter up, you know, and we'd do exchanges just like normal. And I'd keep her for days at a time, pretty much as long as I wanted to, as long as, you know, school wasn't in. And we'd had a visitation agreement, but we didn't really go by it. Like, you know, right. I could just come when I wanted, or, you know, so it wasn't really a problem. But recently, we've been squabbling, so I haven't actually been able to parent, I'd say, because I haven't been able to see my daughter for some time now. So all that stuff is working through the courts, and, you know, with COVID-19, it's slow, you know, so each time you submit a form, it takes about a month to get some action. So I am actually waiting on a letter that I got from the judge, coincidentally, I think yesterday. He mailed it off, or no, they mailed it off on the 27th. So I'm waiting on that, but I haven't been able to parent now at all. Short answer to a
long story.
Yes.
Okay, so with that experience, with you not having the opportunity to parent now, do you know, or can you identify, like, what changed? Like, what sparked that change? Was it when you moved to Louisville? Because originally you guys are not in Louisville, so you're not in the same state with your children. Was it that you moved, or was it something specific that kind of broke the agreement that you guys had as far as, you know, sharing the parental responsibilities?
It was just disagreements about, like, how to parent. And some of it spurs just from divorces in general. So, you know, like, they aren't good things. And, you know, sometimes they can be real nasty. So a lot of it just spurs from that. And once our divorce was finalized, you know, I'd say, like, the mood changed completely. Right. And that's kind of what led to the current situation.
Okay. So in retrospect, do you feel like there was anything that you could have done differently in regards to the way you went about parenting or anything like that, that could have changed the outcome of where you are now?
I wouldn't say parenting, I think, but more hours. Well, I will say parenting. This is what I mean. Sometimes, you know, when you asked earlier just about, like, you know, what did you have to change or what you do differently once you became a parent? And I was talking about how you have to change, like, your mindset a little bit and you just think differently. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'll say. Parenting isn't just like the time you spend with your child. Correct. There are other aspects to it. So, like, mm-hmm. going to work is technically parenting because it's providing for your child. So it's not parenting them in person, but it's an aspect of parenting. So I'd say the thing that I could have done different, I could have been nicer. I had, long story short, again, I could have been nicer, you know. In retrospect, I could have been a lot nicer than I was, but it felt like at the time I was being nice, and I was. You know, when I talked to my friends about the situation, I was, but I had gotten to a point where I kind of got fed up,
right?
And then I started to, okay, well, I'm gonna fight back, you know. So let me be more aggressive, and, you know. But I shouldn't have done it. I should have just let it go. Because in the end, you know, the child is the one that hurts.
Yep.
At the time, I wasn't thinking like that. So that was bad parenting. I wasn't thinking about kind of the impact of the child. I was thinking more so getting back her mother or making her mad, which I succeeded at, but then it caused this. So, you know, was it worth it? No. So that's part of what I would change.
That's great that you have come to that realization so young in your children's life, because it is important for little girls and little boys to have their fathers in their lives. So that's awesome that you can look back at that situation and say, for the sake of my children, winning was a loss for me. And I mean, it can have a toll on you as well, because what you were doing was not, I don't think your intent was to hurt your children, but ultimately they are the ones that are paying the prices for the decisions of the parents. And not to say that it's on your end, because I don't think that, I mean, on your end, you already know what you did wrong. But as a parent and as a single parent, being the mother, I don't think it's fair and I don't think it's right that you would withhold the child, you know, for any personal issues that are going on with you and the father. That's not fair, because one has nothing to do with the other, to be completely honest. Whatever disagreement or argument you've had with their father has nothing to do with their relationship with their father. So when you go and you single-handedly kind of destroy that or take away from that, I don't think a lot of parents think of the consequences that may come after on both ends, because the child is not going to understand that, oh, he didn't come around because she didn't let him, or she didn't come around because he didn't let her. They're just going to be like, he wasn't there, she wasn't there. And then the one that was there, where they think that they are, you know, doing the right thing by keeping that child from a capable parent, that child later on may reconnect with that parent and see, oh, so you robbed me of a relationship with, you know, my father or my mother where I needed them. Because essentially both are needed to raise a child, essentially. And that's why when the father's not around, it's important to have someone of that figure. Or when the mother's not around, it's important to have someone of that figure, because there are certain things that guys can't teach little girls and mothers can't teach little boys. So it's just a sad situation when you see, like, personals get into the way of someone else's personal relationship, because children are people and we sometimes don't think of it that way. But you're affecting someone else's life. So I'm sorry that you are going through that. So hopefully that's over soon and you're able to build a relationship with your children, or continue to build a relationship with the child that you spent most time with, and start with the little one. So as far as like action plans, when things do get resolved, because I believe they will be, what is the plan? Because will you be parenting from two different states? Like, what do you think? How do you think that will work?
I think more than likely, it'll be parenting from two different states, just kind of because of what I have set up and what I have going on here. And it isn't that I'll say never, that, you know, I'll never live in the same state, or, you know, but, I haven't spoken to my ex-wife. I probably talked to her or communicated with her maybe three times in the last year. And the extent of the text or her responses were okay, okay. And I don't remember the other one, but it was probably okay. and that's not even a joke. So it's going to take more than just repairing, the relationship with the child. There has to be some repairing of the parental relationship, at least a little. Right now I see myself, being honest, taking care of myself and the things I need to do to get set up before I can kind of decide that, because I don't know yet. But more than likely it'll be from two states. I'll probably do the summer thing and holiday thing, and then kind of work in the middle as I can. Before, when I was in Georgia, you know, when I was getting my visitation, I was picking my daughter up every weekend, most every holiday, you know, things like that. So it was a lot of time and a lot of attention. Most of her cousins live near each other, so I would pick her up and take her there. So, you know, if I did parent from two states, I'd probably go there and spend time there, because all of her cousins are there. There's no friends here where I am, or cousins or anybody. So I'd probably just spend the time in Georgia, but with her, you know. So that's the plan right now.
Okay, well, that's also honorable, because sometimes, like, as a parent, you think that, oh, I know what's best for you, so come to me. And not realizing, okay, you're ripping that child from everything that they know, from a home that they call home, so that they can call what is considered your home a home. And that can be very traumatizing for children, where, let's say, you would decide to just be like, oh, yeah, you guys are coming to Louisville for the next 6 months. And think about you as an adult. If, let's say, I walked into your house right now and was like, Slaw, you coming with me to Jersey for 6 months? You'd be like, girl, what? No. No, I have my school here. I have my job, my friends, my girlfriend. Everybody's here. What's in Jersey? That's kind of like the same reaction that a child would probably have, but as a parent, I don't think we would ever even consider or care about that. It's just like, we're moving and that's fine. So that's, you know, pretty, that's good that you're willing to step into their world to play your role, as opposed to having them conform to yours, so that you can play your role. So that's I think that's a good idea, and I kind of want to know how it works out.
I'll keep you posted.
Yep. Okay, well, is there anything that you would like to share in regards to your experience, or anything that you think would be helpful to anyone out there with a similar story, that would, you know, kind of help them out and kind of guide them and give them like a glimmer of hope?
I wish I had someone to do that for me, is the first thing I say. But what I'd say is, it's important that you never lose focus, and that you never give up, because I've been through that myself. There are moments where you kind of want to turn off your feelings, because if you do that, then you don't have to worry about missing your children, or not seeing them, or just problems. And you already have other problems, you know, as adults. We got bills, we got the other things we're trying to accomplish. So they all begin to mix, and it's a bag of emotions, and sometimes the bag's a little heavy, and you got to let some stuff go. But it's important to never give up, and just to keep going. going, regardless if things are dark. There's always, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel. And for me, I've kind of made it past the dark days, and things are a lot. Dark days. Things,
you got candles now. I found me a candle.
Yeah, couple candles. We even got one light switch. So, you know, I'm headed in the right direction, and I just think once we go to court and things kind of settle, I think the mother will change her stance a lot, because, you know, she'll see like what she was doing was a little outrageous. But it's important that you stay focused until that moment comes, and not to give up. You know, reach out for help, ask for help, and just try to figure it out. And there are people who will support you along the way. You know, and that's the advice I would give. Just don't give up. Keep pushing, and eventually things will work out. They always do, as long as you're doing the right things. Yeah, you gotta do the right things.
Right. That's valuable advice, and it's pretty valid. Because in my experience, I have had some conversations with single fathers where they just want to blame the system, whatever system this may be, for everything. Oh, they're this. Oh, they're that. Like, no, you have rights too as a father. And, you know, I'm proud that you're exercising your rights as a parent, period. Because just because a child is in the possession of one parent, that does not make them their only parent. Like, but the process is not easy. It is easy for the person that has possession of the child. I mean, it's pretty simple. I have them and I need help. So then you on the opposite end, you need to be able to tell your story too. Like, hey, she has them 24/7 because she refuses to give them to me for like 2 hours or even, you know, a day. So those kind of things make a difference, because the bottom line is these children are out here fatherless, and it's really hurtful to kind of see, like, you know, that a lot of dads are not involved. And I'm not going to say it is simply because they're black or because they don't want to be there. It's a plethora of things, but the bottom line is you weave that web. You dated this person. You got with this person. You had a child with this person. So now you need to figure out how you can kind of exist with this person, because you've created a part of you and handed it to them. And it's, you know, it's unfortunate that most, you know, fathers of our background is not out here trying to use the legal system to protect themselves and their children from the inevitable, like becoming a statistic. So that's pretty dope that, well, and obviously you're in law school, so Thurgood Marshall, you it was a gift.
You're too kind.
You know what? I am too kind, because Thurgood was a good-looking man, and he wasn't scared of nothing. So it's, you know, it's refreshing to see a black man not afraid to step in a courtroom about their kids. Because regardless, you stepping in that courtroom because child support is coming for you. And they're going to have that hearing whether you're here or not there. And a lot of misconception is, oh yeah, she put me on child support. The state is not doing anything that the mother of your child is not permitting them to. So, and rightfully so, I believe that parents that are outside of the home should be paying child support. I think the safest way is through the state, but if you guys can come up with an agreement and take it to the state, which is another thing that people don't think that they can make their own decisions and give it to the people that can control the situation. Because it's like if every interaction with that person is unpleasant, You don't want to go over to her house to drop money off. Like, you could literally pay your child support through the state, whatever amount that you guys agreed on. And if you guys can't agree on an amount, take it to a judge. Have him agree on an amount. So, and I know that you're going through that process. Well, you've already been through that process and you're going through it again. So with that being said, how likely do you see yourself having children or remarrying and parenting with someone else in the future?
It'll probably happen. You know, people will say that they won't, or, you know, that's not what they're thinking about, but I just think it's natural. So I think that I probably will, and I've learned, you know, a lot through the situation. So despite, you know, the circumstances, there's a lesson that has been learned. Mm-hmm. So I think I'll take those tools with me, and it's very likely I'll probably have one more child. That's it, though. But
So one and more
preferably
time.
Preferably to a wife, and then, you know, we'll be together forever. But that's the way I see it.
That's dope. Well, Sloth, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me. This was a very interesting conversation, and you always bring the knowledge. You always have some good information to put out there. So thank you for sharing that with me and my listeners. And also thank you for your service, because I know you've been working through the COVID while you're in school. So that's pretty cool.
And that's dope. Yeah, I know you were gonna say that. That's your favorite word. Thank you for having me. It's been my pleasure. It's early, though. I want to tell you that. They need to know that you be doing these interviews early. And I'm going to take a nap when it's over. But it's been my pleasure. I had a good time talking to you, as usual.
Well, thank you. Well, now you get to reflect on your conversation throughout the day while you take your nap at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's crazy.
Life.
Yeah, you living. It's COVID. All right, guys. It has been Parenting Tea with Mima, and thank you for tuning in for another episode. And I look forward to speaking to you guys very soon.